going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on it. You're all over it. You've got the story. The Bears have made the first of their draft picks last night at number 10. Kind of interesting to watch the way the board kind of unfolded. And, Brad, what was your takeaway from everything you heard last night? And we know of Ben Johnson loving the two tight end sets. Seems like it's a pretty good draft pick for this team.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'd have confidence that this is going to work and be more productive than some of the recent high picks is because I got to think the coach has got a plan for him, and it's a detailed plan, and it's one they're going to be able to put into action. Like, you've seen what he can do in terms of flexibility with personnel groupings, in terms of creativity, in terms of production with the position. And so you're getting a guy with a very similar skill set, to Sam Laporta, who the coach worked with in Detroit. Like, if you're in on the hiring of Ben Johnson as the Bears head coach, I think you're probably in on this draft pick, right? Because you're talking about a head coach who, in his rise through the ranks, has been a tight ends coach at three different places. He was a tight ends coach in Detroit. He was a tight ends coach for the Miami Dolphins. He was a tight ends coach at Boston College when they felt he was so good as a grad assistant, they needed to give him additional responsibility. So that's why I'd have confidence that it's going to work out with this player, Colston Loveland.
What does this mean for Cole Kmet? And even though we understand that Ben Johnson likes to use the two tight end sets, would you project Colston Loveland to have more targets and or receptions next year than Kmet?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little early to get into that just because he's a rookie and he's got to go out there and do it. But I would think he's going to have an opportunity. But Cole Kmet has got far more upside and productivity as a pass-catching tight end than any number two option that Johnson's worked with anywhere, really, in my opinion. So I think there's still going to be plenty for Cole to do. And, you know, Jeff King, the senior director of player personnel, even said, like, Cole's going to be a big part of the offense here. Like, this isn't him being replaced by the selection of Colston Loveland. Because you can't run 12 personnel with just Colston Loveland. Had they drafted, Kelvin Banks, let's say that Kelvin Banks doesn't go ninth to the Saints, like, that's drafting a guy to replace Braxton Jones. That's not the case here with Cole.
It is interesting, though, because it'll be just interesting. Cole Kmet is on a four-year, $50 million deal. And
if it's third and five, who's more likely to get the ball?
Well, the guy picked 43rd, or the guy
right, 10th.
Third, five. Which guy? How do you want to attack him? Which tight end's going to be on the field? So we'll see. They obviously think that Loveland has huge upside here as a producer for them in this offense. And this is the kind of first pick for new regime, at least regime involving the head coach, right? The GM's been here for a while. So I think there's certainly reason to be excited.
Did anything really surprise you in the draft? What was the trade down by Cleveland to Jacksonville? Did that take you unawares? And Brad, there were all sorts of wild reports about the Bears planning this big move up. They were going to, the Bears, wait till you see them get on their horse. And you couldn't help but wonder if the price that Jacksonville paid to move up a couple spots proved to be debilitating for other teams that may have wanted to move into the first round, nothing happening until the 25th pick.
Yeah, I mean, a few thoughts. First of all, I believe, like, the Browns and Jaguars, they got together and put the framework of this entire thing together like 2.5 weeks ago. This
right.
wasn't something
right.
that came together in the last couple of days. This was in place, provided Cam Ward wasn't an option for the Cleveland Browns. More surprising to me that Jacksonville, a team that seemingly needs, has a host of needs, would pay a big, big price to go from 5 to 2 in year one for a new GM, new head coach, than the Browns looking to amass future draft capital in an effort to address the couple decade long quarterback issue in the future. So like the Browns, you can look at it and say, okay, I get that. They're loading up to be able to go get their guy when the time is right. That guy wasn't in this draft. Like, are they even going to take a quarterback with? They've got two of the top four picks tonight.
Right?
Are they even going to take a Shedeur Sanders? Do you even take a shot at that and say, well, maybe this guy could be it, or do you continue to add quality football players so when you do go attempt to get your quarterback, you've got a stronger roster? Do you see if you can get future first-round draft picks for your high picks tonight? Do you continue to try to add more draft capital? So the move from Jacksonville's standpoint was a little bit surprising for me. I mean, you want to plant your flag and show everyone you know, we've got a new thing going in Jacksonville. Okay, but boy, you paid a heck of a price for Travis Hunter to go do that.
What's weird is they really need a corner, right? So does that mean, we had talked to you before, you said people have told you that this guy's a wide receiver. Now they got an offensive-minded coach. Is that?
Oh, he'll play wide receiver first, and they're going to try to slowly. Like the reason they're dreaming of like this two-way player. Like they've got you know, concrete Charlie Bednarik out there, except he plays on the outside. But it sounds like it's offense first, and then they see kind of where it goes. From there, I mean, special player, no question about it. Yep. And if you get two players out of that pick, okay, well then the trade makes more sense. Like if he can really do that and play both ways, okay. I hope it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch, and I hope he can stay healthy.
We're going to compare quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round, like we will with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels throughout the course of their careers. We already went through that with the 2017 draft as well. Do you think it's going to be human nature to compare the paths that Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland take? And do you think that one is positioned for better success than the other?
Yeah, it's fair to – the Bears could have either one of them, right? So – You're gonna kind of look at that, and I think the Bears did a pretty good job of explaining their thought process, like with yesterday when Ryan Poles and Jeff King chatted for a little bit. They both said, "Hey, we think Tyler Warren's going to be a great player." It came down to Colston Loveland. They feel is a better fit for them. And I think that makes sense. I think you look at it and you say Tyler Warren's probably a more physical tight end, more punishing. Colston Loveland is a little more explosive and athletic. So from the plan of what the coach wants to do with the position, I think Loveland is probably a better fit. Now he's got to go out and prove that he's a better tight end. And they even said they think he's more effective as a run blocker than maybe he gets credit for. So he's got good size. What is he, 6'5", 240? Like this is a big boy. And blocking is something that you can get coached up on that at the NFL level. Like you can't coach the lower body quickness and twitch and things of that nature, but you can coach up a guy on becoming an even better blocker than he is, and they feel like he's pretty solid. But yeah, that's a comparison. And Dave, I don't, you know, hey, what's Mykel Williams do for the San Francisco 49ers, a defensive end out of Georgia? Like, how does his career unfold? Because you could make a legitimate case that's a pick that would have made sense for them. So if that guy goes out and wrecks shop for the 49ers, you look at that and you say, well, you know, here's something they could have done. But as long as Colston Loveland is producing and playing well in their offense, I think you'll feel pretty good about it. And they've been on him for a while, right? They did heavy, heavy work on J.J. McCarthy a year ago. You know, they were on the ground in Ann Arbor watching games. They were talking to people in the program. So they're learning and, you know, seeing things and with Colston Loveland last year. And then this year you get deeper into the, what's this guy like? Get to know him a little bit, do background work. And that's where I think he became even more impressive for them.
So I think we have a good feel for what the Bears need. How does the board match up with that? What do you think they do in the early second round tonight?
Yeah, you had two left tackles
That was pity.
Potential left tackles anyway. Come off the board.
Connerly and Simmons. Late. Yeah, I was cursing that.
Late last night.
Yeah.
Late last night. And so if you are dead set on, you know, is there a left tackle here that can compete? Minnesota's Ariante Ursary might be kind of the last best option. Unless, you know, they find a Braxton Jones, a lower round pick that can do something as a rookie. That would be challenging, not unheard of. Ursary, lot of starts at left tackle for the Gophers. I want to say like 37 or 38 of them. I don't have that in front of me, guys. But and I think I mentioned when I was on with you guys, was it last week or the beginning of the week, that all the times kind of molded together here. But I talked to a guy who compared him. He liked him as good or better than our man Mimbo from Mizzou. So, you know, everybody's got a different flavor or take, but that's an option there. After him, it gets a little more thin. But there's a lot of good football players that are on the board, I feel like. Certainly, the running back class really hasn't been touched after the top couple guys, right? If you really like Travion Henderson, well, he might be an option. Maybe he – does he make it to 39? I don't know, but that's a good football player. Nick Emanwori, the safety from South Carolina, who I think a lot of people thought would go round one, he's available. There's 3-4 edge rushers that I feel like most people thought would be late one or early two options. Mike Green. Now that, you know, you're going to have to square away the off-field concerns for Mike Green, who led FBS in sacks with like 17.
How different is the Mike Green situation this year to the Jalen Carter situation a couple years ago? Are the Bears in a better position?
I mean, you know, the Mike Green thing, like, there's been, you know, allegations involving women, so that's I don't think Jalen Carter had a lot of baggage. To my knowledge or recollection anyway, it didn't involve that. So I think these are they're kind of different animals that way. But is it? And I don't know that it is. But if that's an issue that you're trying to square away, does that become different in round two after round one? I don't know. Like, and it'd probably tell you it's a individual case by case basis for every guy with stuff of that nature. But then the other question I'd have here with him, Dave, is the size. Like, is he too small to kind of be a fit for what they want to do? Remember, they've talked about bringing all their coaches in. Okay, what's the prototype at the position? In the Dennis Allen defense, what are we looking at? It at left end, right end, three tech. You know what? So if he's kind of outside of the box for what they're looking for, that would make it a heck of a lot easier to kind of say, yeah, nah, we're not interested in him.
When you think about the players that are on the board, like ideally. If Green you're afraid of or you don't like his size, length, whatever it is, do you hope he's drafted before you go? Sanders, anybody, you know what I'm saying?
The quarterbacks,
yeah.
Because Poles alluded to it last night, guys. He was asked, "Hey, well, was this as wild as you thought it would be?" And I think he thought maybe there'd be a little more action in the top half of round one, and maybe he was telling you that he knew that something was going down with the Cleveland pick at two without telling you the other day. But, you know, this is where you could see even more action. Do the Steelers feel like they need to get in there for a quarterback. I don't know. Does New Orleans feel like it can get a quarterback at 40, sandwiched between the two Bears picks, or does it move up? Is there another team that, maybe we'll take a shot at this quarterback? You know, this history shows you there's not a ton of quarterbacks taken in round two because, generally speaking, everybody's overpaid and overdrafted their guys in round one. But the Bears are in an interesting position, and they resisted the urge to trade up yesterday. And if you kind of like your draft capital where it is right now, I don't know that you want to trade up today. And if there's a whole pool of players that they feel good about, maybe there's a trade down spot for them. I don't know. But I just know, looking at a host of names, there's some corners that you look at and you're like, boy, there's some decent football players here. They've talked about this being kind of the sweet spot of this draft. So if that's the case, you would think they would be reluctant to trade up, but I don't know. We'll see.
Have a great weekend, Brad. Good stuff.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. 312-644-6767. Getting your take on what they did and what they have to do today. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
When you look at Ben Johnson, let's go back. And this is I think this is a check the box to Ben Johnson and what he wants to do on offense. If we would have taken another wide receiver, just think about this, and we would have said, wait a minute. I thought we were getting a guy that wanted to run the ball, that used multiple tight ends. What was that percentage that you had, Judd, from what he did?
Third most 12 personnel last year, the Detroit Lions under Ben Johnson.
Third most 12, which is two tight ends in the game.
Right.
So that tells us, Chicago people, that with Ben Johnson, what you saw is what we're going to get, which is really exciting and really good, and it gives our quarterback, a young kid, the best chance to be successful.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. There is a running tally being taken by our executive producer, Dustin William Rhodes, as to how many times the term 12 personnel will be mentioned today.
I think it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's a way to describe the two tight end sets that are part of the Detroit Lion offense the last couple of years, going to be a bigger part of the Bear offense moving forward. There's room for both guys, and you can call it what you want, but it is going to be a thing with Ben Johnson. And here's the thing before we get these phone calls.
We're on Lingo Watch.
Yeah, Lingo Watch. All right, Lingo Watch. I like it. 312-644-6767. What do you think of this pick? Mully, here's the one thing I would say. Because there are some people that didn't like it. That's the beauty of the NFL draft. All I think is this. If you thought Ben Johnson was a smart guy for the first 75 days of his Bears tenure, he's been on the job, I think, for 75 days. He didn't just get dumb on the 76th day. If you trusted him before, you got to trust him now. This, to me, is his pick. This, to me, was his influence on this draft more than any other factor. And if that is true, when you accept that premise that he knows what he's doing. It's a good pick. And Colston Loveland will make an impact on this offense in the 12 personnel or not, Dustin.
I feel like the way you know that it is Ryan Paul's pick is if he gets the wrong offensive tackle.
Yes. Isn't that human nature right now?
It's just so mean.
Well,
but that's just kind of.
Well, again, if it were the third offensive tackle, you would think that Ryan Poles might have insinuated himself into the situation more than it seems when you draft the first tight end off the board, a pass catching tight end, a guy who is a wide receiver in the tight end's body. Yeah, so Ryan Poles can. Well, I think you want to help him in the third round. I was going to say, he can pick the other guys, but you want to help him in the third round, especially, please.
He hands that one over.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Let's try Jeff. Our buddy Jeff's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. A little disappointed in my main man, Brandon, for not playing Private Idaho by B-52s for the Colson pick, but that's okay. Maybe you get to it later. But I like the pick. I don't know if I was looking at offensive tackle, and if Banks went, you know, that was an iffy pick as it was.
Right.
And I was looking at a trade down. I had talked with you guys about a trade down to get one of the tight ends. But with Warren going like four picks later, I think they wanted to make sure they got their guy. And I think this is their guy. I mean, 6'6", 248, comes from a Big Ten running system. But he's got a catch radius that's huge, and he can catch balls over the middle. And he's a slot kind of guy. So I think it's a good pick. Now, for today, I think if Ursary is available, I think you run up there and get him. I want the tackle. And then if he's gone, I look at best defensive tackle or defensive edge. And then for the running back, you can look at 41, whoever you want to get there. And if they're not there, wait till the third round and go after the Iowa guy if he's still there. But I think you go offensive tackle today at 39 and then defense if he's not there, and then get your running back when he can. All right.
You know, Jeff, that's a really
good plan. It's detailed.
Yes. Here's the only.
What do you think?
Well, here's the and I don't know this for a fact, but I'd be very curious. Are you no longer reaching if you're taking a player in the second round? In other words, let's say that on your board, you know, you as much as you have left tackle underlined and spread out.
Oh, it's bold right now, Molly. It's highlighted in yellow.
What if
it's highlighted in yellow?
What if Ursary is more like the 40th player left? And what if he is better suited on your board, on your giant board that you put together, that you believe he would be a perfect guy to take at 72? Now, the problem is he won't last there.
Right.
Because of need. Do you do exactly what he just said? Well, grab him at 39.
That's the word. That's the right word. Do you draft more because of need in the second round because you have not addressed those needs in the first?
Yes.
And I think that's a very valid question. It's also, I think, it depends on who's answering it. If you are the, if you are somebody that values and wants your edge rushing need to be addressed, you're probably going to be more inclined to take a gamble that that tackle will fall and he won't, you know, you won't worry so much about that. If I'm the Bears, I think you need to have a cohesive plan going into today. And that plan would be to address some of those positions that you didn't or weren't able to, the position you weren't able to address in the first round. Offensive tackle is a glaring need.
Glaring need.
So I think when you're talking about that.
So you would want the first of the two second-round picks.
Ariante Ursary from Minnesota would be somebody that I would prioritize today.
Yeah.
If he was still on the board at 39, I'd highly consider taking him there. I would know the terrain and wonder if there was another team interested in him, but he's a left tackle and probably the best one left on the board. Might be the only one that's ready to go.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, potentially being a starting player for you, does that make the position more valuable? You see what I'm saying?
Let's put the bar here. The bar is really, is he more ready than Kieran Amagaji? And the answer would be yes.
Okay.
And if you get beyond that, then you're getting somebody who's still another project.
You didn't put the bar here.
Well, I know.
The bar is currently on the floor. You got to lift that thing up and put it over your head a little bit.
Well, it's if you can strong enough to lift it.
Exactly.
You might not be strong enough to lift it.
You can't lift that knee bar.
You need a little bit more girth.
That's right.
A little bit more hard, work a little bit harder. Get off the golf course, but we digress. Look, if you're looking at left tackle and you prioritize that as a need, Ariante Ursary is somebody you're really keeping your eye on today. The other position, I think, at 41 would be running back. If you come out of tonight with your second-round pick with a left tackle that could be ready to go this year as a rookie, maybe not day one, but season one, and a running back that is your complement to DeAndre Swift, then you've had yourself a good night.
And then you finally take Mike Green at 72.
If he's still on the board at 72. And, you know, Mully, he might
come away with those three players.
We don't know.
I don't know.
The concern level. And I think we also know that as you get deeper into the draft, your risk-reward calculus changes.
There aren't busts when you get to a certain point.
Right.
All right, 312-644-6767. I just wanted to make one quick comment before anyone It is really hard to successfully run 12 personnel when you have to leave a third tight end on the field to chip. Okay, just so we have that, just to help if you need the third tight end to serve as like a proxy left tackle for your left tackle.
Well, nobody said Mercedes Lewis is going to be part of this team, all right? The assistant offensive line coach may be moving on. But if you are forced to go to 12 personnel, I think, what's the look, Dustin?
He thinks we're just getting him now.
We're just having this.
We're just blowing up.
I mean, you're talking about the tight end who actually had more penalties than catches last year.
I wouldn't bring him back because you also have a third tight end in the mix here. Lest we forget,
they kind of
the guy whose name I forget. Graham Smythe, right? That's who the tight end from Miami was.
Smitty.
Is he Smitty?
He is for the purposes of this conversation.
You know, I asked Brad the wrong question. I asked Brad about what it meant for Cole Kmet. I shouldn't have asked him what he meant for Graham Smythe.
I hope Loveland changes his number to 12. Just to, you know.
They have.
Why can't we just say two tight end sets?
Cole Kmet, Durham Smythe.
Durham Smythe, not Graham Smythe.
Steven Carlson is still here. Joel Wilson, don't forget about, and don't forget, Jordan Murray is also. You got a lot of guys. You got a lot of bodies there. I don't think you need help with.
And I wasn't being facetious. I think the question is, if you're third and five and you're Caleb Williams and you're looking for a guy who you know is going to get open, the more experience Colston Loveland has because of his versatility and to line up in the slot, to line up at the line of scrimmage, his size and his escapability, he could easily, in my mind, emerge as a go-to receiver.
And he is a really bad matchup for linebackers and safeties.
That's the key. He's a matchup nightmare.
Who are the guys that are forced to cover the tight end linebackers and safeties?
He is, in your offense, what Zach Ertz became to the Eagles and the Cardinals. Yes. He is, ideally, and I'm not making this comparison, but stylistically, he is your version of Travis Kelce.
And since somebody texted the idea in, how about our buddy Chris Ballard getting himself the tight end that he wanted in the NFL draft when the Bears took Loveland? And you know, I'm not saying they shouldn't have, but that created a situation where the Penn State tight end Warren drops to
14.
To Chris at 14.
Yeah, that was.
And they had declared that they wanted to come out.
They were very open.
Yes,
they wanted a pass catching tight end. Nobody really thought in the mock drafts that Tyler Warren was going to drop to 14.
No.
But the Colts really celebrated that.
Yeah, congratulations to
and,
Chris.
And they got their guy.
No doubt. All right. Let's get to Tom. Tom's on the south side. Hey, Tom.
Guys, I had to say I'm a little disappointed with the pick. 2 points. One, we took the tight end that came with the doctor's note. So far in the past, that really hasn't worked out for the Bears. If you look at Amagaji and some of their other early picks. Two, I just don't see this guy being the type of guy that the opposing NFC North defensive coordinators are going to be game planning against. Whereas I think the 11th pick.
Well, then he's going to be even more open than you think he is.
Exactly. I beg to differ.
Yeah, they're going to
respect
have
where you're coming from, but he's a guy that you do game plan against because when you have a 6'5 tight end lining up in the slot, you've got to figure out a matchup approach. And this is a matchup problem for defensive coordinators.
And a man skilled enough to even lasso the ball if he can't go up and get it. Pretty impressive stuff. All right, we've got
you and your rodeo reference.
I
comes from Idaho.
Did I mention
he had
my
elk
rodeo
on the
story?
Wall? Yeah.
Did I tell you my rodeo joke? All right.
It's not your first one.
Yeah, it's not my first rodeo
or joke.
312-644-6767. We'll be right back with your calls, Mully and Haw, The Score.
It's not a joke. Like, Idaho tough. You know, I asked him about his hand strength because not only can you see it when he catches the ball, but when he blocks. And he was like, have you ever put up wire fence in Idaho before? I said, no.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio.
There you go.
670, The Score.
I recognize that now. Yes. Who knew that Idaho would be such a big part of this story?
It's fun.
But it is. Do you know that he's from actually Gooding, Idaho?
Gooding.
But there's a smaller municipality of like 260 people or so. It's actually Bliss, Idaho.
See?
Now there's all kinds of headline possibilities there.
In the old days, you might have sent a reporter out to Bliss.
Well, in the old days, that would have been a fun trip. I was deprived the chance to go to Chicken Dinner Road and do the Shane McClellan story.
I thought for sure you went to Chicken Dinner Road.
I think I lobbied for it and was denied. I'm not sure why. That was 2012. So that would be fun to see somebody go out to Bliss, Idaho now.
Oh, God.
And go to a rodeo with Colston Loveland.
And the reality is that the newspapers aren't sending people anymore. The local television, there's just a travel budget slash, you know, like Larry Mayer, our buddy from the Bears, could go out there. Larry would do a hell of a story, rodeo related.
I'd hate to see him at the rodeo. I would worry about his health and welfare. Might get a little too close.
I would worry
on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, I would worry that Larry would throw himself so much into the story that he may end up like hogtied.
Or throwing himself literally into the story. Ouch. Ouch. So the first Idaho high school graduate drafted in the first round since the Cowboys drafted Leighton Vander Esch in 2018.
Is that right? Wow. I saw, this made me laugh, I saw our buddy Dan Wiederer sent the thing out yesterday that the last Bears draft pick, did you see this? The last Bears draft pick to play on a team, a winning Bears team in the playoffs was Chris Williams in 2008.
Oh, my gosh. That's going way back.
Oh, my God.
He came pre-injured, too.
He did. Yeah, at the back.
Well, we thought all along that the Bears might go to Idaho in the first round for a player and a prospect, but not this player or prospect.
Not their own private.
A little bit of a surprise, a little bit of a shock to some people.
Yes.
As I said, everybody else that they may have had higher on the board was off the board. So Colston Loveland was there. It doesn't mean they settled. That would be the wrong verb. I think they're excited about the possibilities, certainly in this offense. Two tight end personnel they will use a lot. Ben Johnson did it a lot in Detroit. Only two offensive coordinators called more plays and formations with two tight ends than Ben Johnson. Get used to it, Bears fans.
Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Aaron is on the road. Hey, Aaron.
Hello, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Football, I love it because it's a common sense game, and the Bears have no common sense. I don't like this pick. First round, I just wanted an offensive or defensive tackle. Best one on the board, whoever. You have a left tackle that doesn't hold up to a bull rush. I don't care if you run a two tight end set. You can't run anything if your quarterback is still on his back.
Mm-hmm.
This guy might be the best tight end. But for what the Bears need is to be able to protect the quarterback. Your line that everybody is happy about is, think about this. You made a trade for a guy that's coming off of an injury. You have, I don't know what you have as a backup to the left tackle, and you don't have a good left tackle. So,
well, Aaron, thanks for the phone call. With due respect, this is the first act of a four-act play, if you're looking at it that way. You didn't you have three more picks. If you end up without a left tackle after your first four picks, then you can your review will be this stinks.
Yes.
But it doesn't stink yet. And you know what, Molly? I mean, they were down to the fourth rated offensive tackle at 10.
Yes, they were. Yes.
That would have been too high.
Yes.
Kelvin Banks went before them to New Orleans. That's maybe right. The Bears would have taken him and we'd had a different conversation today. Okay. That couldn't happen. They didn't they didn't have that option.
I was surprised that all the offensive tackles were off the board. It was almost same. Like a worst case scenario when you really think about it. Like when we talked about like how line of scrimmage and what they needed, and you know, with the, surely one of them will fall. I think didn't we get we talked to our man from our lads who suggested it would be Will Campbell. Who went off the board as expected at 4.
That was a good pick.
And and they announced right away that he was going to be their starting left tackle, and that was that. So, yeah, I think they need a left tackle. I think they should take a left tackle, and I think they should get to it as soon as they can.
Ariante Ursary is the name Ursary to keep an eye on tonight. Yep. The guy from Minnesota, the left tackle for the Golden Gophers. Let's see if he finds his way to Chicago, if the Bears like that idea too.
All right, we got a lot left in the program. We're going to get back to the phone lines. We'll get all of your calls in, but next we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk some Cubs. It's time to talk to our man Ron Coomer. We'll get Coom's take on the tight end.
We'll get his take on the draft.
We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.